Very thankful to have been able to be in the meeting and what the Lord has sent and what He's given me. I feel like I've gotten my portion and hope you have as well. It's my desire and burden tonight that the Lord would pass by us one more time. I'm so thankful for opportunity and time that He gives, time and opportunity to deal with Him, to deal with the affairs of our soul. I have a burden on my heart that I feel like we had intended to leave earlier today. I felt like He impressed me to stay and leave this burden with you. So again, desire your prayers that the Lord would bless and anoint what's spoken. I'd like to begin in the book of Genesis and think about how it was for a moment in the beginning. We won't read a lot here, but in the second chapter of Genesis, the 15th verse, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Whenever I think about the garden, you know, I don't believe that Adam and Eve lived in poverty conditions. I don't believe they had to worry themselves about welfare. I don't think they had to concern themselves with a retirement plan. The Lord had provided everything that they needed in the garden. The Lord created and provided everything right there for them. We can picture perhaps just a glimpse in our minds of what it might have been like. Believe it was beautiful. Believe it was a place that the Lord had created. And He put man there and created man that He might give glory to God for what He had done and for who He was and for what He had created. And He said here, of all that He had given, He gave it unto man. He put all of creation under man's dominion, that he might be able to dress and to keep the garden that the Lord had created and everything that the Lord had created for him. But there was one thing that He said, don't touch. I've created everything that you could possibly need or desire of all the trees that I've put in the garden. But to me, it says something about Almighty God, that He placed a tree in the midst of it, a tree that He said, don't go and eat of it. Don't go and partake of this one tree. Of everything else that they had, I don't believe they were deprived. But I believe what it tells us is that God is looking for a willing service from every one of us. I believe that He wanted that from Adam and Eve. Not just forced or like all the other animal kingdom, just to serve without will. But the Lord put a will in man and wanted them to have the desire to serve Him. Looking for voluntary service. You know, the Lord wants our lives to be beautiful and fruitful. And the Lord has created and given everything that we need in our lives to be able to live that kind of life. We've heard through this meeting about all the Lord has provided and made available to us at our disposal of this salvation. And the Lord offers it to every one of us. Of everything that the soul could ever long for, the Lord has provided it for us. But yet, He wants us to choose to serve Him willingly. What I'd like to consider, picking up in the fourth chapter, is a word. It's a short word, but it's a word that I believe the whole of the gospel hinges upon. I'd like to write the word on the board. If. I'd like to look at Genesis 4 in the 7th verse. As we come down now and Adam and Eve chose to take, you know, it's amazing to me the way the enemy works. Of everything that Adam and Eve had, yet they wanted the one thing that they weren't supposed to have. You know, that's still the way the enemy works. Of everything the Lord has given and made available in salvation, the enemy still makes the one little trifling thing out in the world to be the thing that allures and attracts, to be the one thing. And the Lord allowed it to be so, that we would choose to serve Him of our will. And so as they plunge the world into sin, the Lord paid a visit unto Cain. The sixth verse of the fourth chapter says, "The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." He's telling Cain here, you know, he offered the opportunity to Cain. "I'm coming to you now, though your parents chose to rebel against me. Cain, I'm still coming and offering opportunity and hope unto you." Do you realize, Cain, that I've given you the same opportunity that I gave them? If you choose to do well, Cain, don't you realize that you too will be accepted? That you have the opportunity before you now to choose the course that you're going to take? If you do well, if you choose to live for me, if you choose to obey and to fear me, then you'll be accepted. Then I'll put my blessing and my favor upon your life. So with every one of us here tonight, the Lord gives every one of us the opportunity, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our situation in life, regardless of what things might have been handed or passed down to me, the Lord gives every one of us the opportunity to serve Him, to be accepted. But the Lord wants us to choose to do so of our will and our opportunity that He's given us. This is the gospel message that the Lord has given. It's the message that He sends down to us today. Not that we would serve Him because we're forced to, but out of the love that we have for Him. I'd like to look now for a moment at the call of Abram. The 12th chapter of Genesis. The Lord told Abraham to get up and to go into a land that He would show him. And He gave him a promise that said, "I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You realize what the Lord was telling Abraham here? "I'll be your ally. I'm going to go before you, and the enemies that would rise up against you, I'll fight against them. I'm going to bless you to have the blessing of the Lord upon Abraham's life and upon his lineage. Those that curse you, I'll curse. I'll be against them." An ally is one that says, "Your interest or my interest." If there's one that attacks you, I'll rise up to defend you. If there's one that comes and fights against you, you can count me as standing beside you. And so the Lord said to Abraham, "Abraham, as you go into a land that you don't know, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you." Whenever I think of the children of Israel and that promise that was handed down to them, the Lord looked down on the children of Israel and the bondage of Egypt, and His heart longed for them. He saw the bondage and the captivity that they were under and wanted something so much better than that to be able to offer. He had something. He said, "I have a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That I want to take you to. You weren't designed to go through life like this. There's something so much better and so much greater that I have for you if you'll follow me." And so this covenant that the Lord made, He said, I'll go before you, I'll fight for you. But a covenant is something, an agreement that is binding by two parties. It's that the two parties enter into an agreement with, and it binds them together. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. The 22nd verse. "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river The river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. You know, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like something that I like to be able to write down and memorize, something that I can take with me. But I want us to realize all of that that the Lord said, the promise that He had given, that I'll fight for you. There's not going to be able to be anyone that can stand up against you. We sang the song, More Than a Conqueror, that's our only hope, is through Him. If the Lord will enter into this agreement with us, that I'll go before you. Whenever the enemy rises up against you and he comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against him. That he won't be able to overtake you. That the river won't be able to overflow you. But it said here, I'll do all these things if. There's a requirement that it placed on the children of Israel. I'll follow, I'll keep the covenant with you. As long, and notice it passed down from generation to generation. It wasn't just something the Lord promised to Abraham, or to Moses, or to Joshua that came behind. But unto every generation that chose and made the decision, yes, Lord, I'll follow after you. The Lord fought for them as well. I'm thankful that this gospel, this kingdom the Lord has given us, it's not just something that our parents or our grandparents were able to experience, but it's something that passes down to every generation. To every generation that comes along and every time and culture of the world that comes to the point, the Lord still says today, I'll fight your battles for you. You'll be able to live a victorious life. You can have salvation if you will. You can be able to be an overcomer. You can do all those things that you cannot do otherwise. But there's a requirement, there's a stipulation upon you, if you'll hearken diligently unto me. 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And so he said, I set before you today. Do you realize the power that God has given us above all creation to tell Him no? Whenever the Lord wants to work for us and do for us and give the best that He has to offer, but yet He gives us the power to turn Him down. He gives us the will to be able to choose. I don't want to go that way. And so the children of Israel, time and time and time again, they made that decision, didn't they? They chose, the Scripture said in one place, there rose up another generation. They didn't seek after the Lord their God. They didn't long and seek for that same experience that their fathers had. And so the Lord, the covenant that He had kept, He said, as long as, or if you shall follow after me, I'll fight your battles for you. Remember one place after Joshua was passed off the scene, this is can be found in 1 Samuel around the 7th chapter, that they went out to battle. This generation that rose up and they had gone off after other gods, following after other gods, now there came an enemy that rose up against them. You know, it's happened before. The Lord's fought our battles for us before. Remember Ai, whenever the children of Israel went up against Ai? The Lord had just given us Jericho. Oh, we don't need this many men. This one's an easy one for us. But without the Lord, there is none of us here tonight that's able to stand. Without the Lord's power in our lives and without the Lord's blessing upon us, we'll fall flat. So the children of Israel went out to battle. And there was something that they realized that their fathers had done, and that was they had taken the ark with them. They had gone out to battle and they had the ark, and when they had that, they had victory. And so they chose, bring the ark with us, and we'll be able to have victory. We'll be able to overcome. But they hadn't turned from their gods. They hadn't had a change of heart. They just said, bring the ark along with us, so that we'll be able to go up and win. They took the ark up and they lost. They lost the battle and they were defeated. Because it takes more than the ark. It wasn't just that piece of furniture that the Lord had given. But it was representative of the Lord's presence with them. Whenever they would wholly follow after the Lord, I'll fight your battles for you. It wasn't the ark that won the battles, but it was the Lord of the ark. You know, it's not a form of religion that'll win our battles. It's not just a profession or something that I prop up. I carry a form that looks similar in appearance to what my parents and forefathers had. I see they won some battles, and I know the way they appeared and the things they did. But it's the God that they had. It's not just the outward form. It's not just the routine they followed. But Lord, help me to get a hold of the God that they served, that they got a hold of. And so in every generation that's come along, the choice has come down to this point. Behold, I set before you blessing and curse. Your fathers aren't going to be here. And you know, this is something that burdens my heart to realize as those that are older pass off the scene. Oh, what a weight it leaves on those of us that are coming behind. Lord, help us to get a hold of the same power, to be able to have something in our lives that will carry us through, regardless of the changes that come in this life, that I'll have something that will be able to cause me to stand. That will allow me to have some victories in my life. That will allow me to have something when others look on, that I've overcome some giants in my life. They can see that He came up against something that He fought against, and He won some battles, and He won some victories. But the Lord wants us to choose. If you will follow after me, I'll fight for you. But if you don't, not only will He not fight for us, but He'll fight against us. Oh, what an awful thought to have the God of heaven fighting against us, fighting contrary to what we want to do. The Scripture says, Isaiah 57th chapter, there is no peace for the wicked. Everything I try to do, everything I try to accomplish, it seems like I hit a dead end. It seems like I can't get anywhere. And there's no, I try and I seek after and I strive to get that'll satisfy, and it doesn't do it. I'm just in more turmoil. The way of wickedness, it's darkness, and they stumble and they grope. They don't know what they stumble at. I'd like to give us a little bit of a picture from the book of Haggai of what it means to have the Lord fight against us. Remember, this is the alternative for every one of us. If we should not choose to follow wholly after Him. The book of Haggai was a message sent unto the God's people that had been brought up from captivity. The house of the Lord lay desolate. It had been torn down. And as they were brought back to the city where they dwelled, they had gone a space of a number of years. They had built back their own houses, but yet the Lord's house, the Scripture says, lay desolate. The sixth verse of the first chapter says, "Ye've sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord God, Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Ninth verse, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Because you've chosen to take your own way, because you've chosen to put your own things in your own affair, your own life, first and foremost, I'm going to blow on it. Whenever you come and you bring wages and you earn it and you expend your energy and your labors, you're going to realize it comes to nothing. And you're working and you're working. It reminds me of the picture of a hamster on a wheel. Running and running and running and running, but not getting anywhere. You know, if we should turn to our own ways, if we turn to the way that seems right to us, we'll spin our wheels and expend our energy, and at the end of life realize we've gotten nowhere because the Lord's blowing on it. Whenever the Lord blows on it, it'll come to nothing and become as grass. Isaiah, the first chapter, familiar scripture here. Isaiah 1. Judah had again backslidden, turned to their own ways. You know, it seems like the Lord would get wearied of that. It seems like at some point the Lord would say, look, you've done it before. You didn't learn. It's just good enough for you. You had it coming to you. But it said here, the 18th verse, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord offered hope to a nation and a people that had chosen back there. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to go after the things that seem right unto me. Yet the Lord came to them and crossed their paths and said, come now, I'm giving you another opportunity. I'm giving you hope here. I'm giving you the opportunity to come back to a crossroads of decision where you can again, if you'll turn from your ways. Whenever the children of Israel, there the instance I referred to in 1 Samuel, they were defeated. Samuel came to them and said, you turn from your gods. You turn from Ashtaroth. You put away your gods from you. The Lord will still meet with you. If you'll turn from your ways, the Lord is still interested in giving you victory. He's still interested in giving you the same power that He gave your fathers before you. And they did that, and they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord gave them victory. The Lord again came to their rescue and fought for them. And He gave them an Ebenezer stone there. He gave them a remembrance, something to take with them and remember what the Lord had done. I am so thankful that God is a God of opportunity and hope. And so this meeting comes to us and others like it. In times that the Lord crosses our paths, maybe we've tried to take our own way and He says, I still want to offer you hope. I still want to bring, it's still not too late for you to say, Lord, I want to turn from my own ways. I want to turn from the path that I've been going down. I've been laboring, I've been working, I've been trying to live for you. I've been trying to do it in my own energy, in my own works. Lord, it's come to nothing. I don't have the peace. I don't have the joy. You know, whenever we hear reports of a meeting like this, maybe we've even been in the meeting, we hear what a wonderful meeting it is. You know, it can do something to us if we're not experiencing that. The song talks about that you might hear the joyful sound. But if we don't hear, if I don't experience the joy, if it's not ringing true in my heart, you know, I can hear that thing. Well, it's not for me. There must be something that I'm missing. But the Lord wants to still give hope and opportunity. If there's a need in our lives, if we've come to a point, Lord, I've been trying, I've been working at it, I've tried it before and it hadn't worked, the Lord's saying, come now, let us reason together. There's still opportunity. The Lord, as I see and look through this, the story of His people throughout time, it's the story of a God of love, offering opportunity. Whenever they turn from Him, yes, sending some hard things their way, but turning them back to Him and giving them opportunity again. Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter. I'd like to look at a passage here. Jeremiah 42:11 says, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you, to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, say no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. I'm going to go and turn to my own way, because the way of the Lord is hard. I look at it and the enemy tries to paint a picture of the way of the cross being something that's unbearable. And so I'm going to turn to my own devices and my own ways. I don't want to have to go through those kind of things. I don't want to have to face the things that I'd have to face. But he says, if you should choose and say, I'm not going to go this way. I'm not going to dwell in the land and the place the Lord has for me. He says, to paraphrase, and you can read on down yourself, the very thing that you were running from, the very thing that you said, I can't do it, I'm going to go my own way. He said, that's the very thing that will overtake you. That's the very thing. You think you're running from famine, and famine's going to overtake you. You think you're running to try to avoid the battles and the wars, and there's going to be battle and war that overtakes you and overcomes you. If you tried to go it alone, you cannot make it. It's only by the way of the Lord. Whenever I'm blessing, whenever I put my sanction on your life, and I fight your battles for you. But whenever the Lord says He's against us, we'll do nothing but spin our wheels. And so you know the question comes up, and we bring it down to the gospel time. How could a loving God send a soul to hell? I was talking to a man just the other day who said, I believe everyone's going to heaven. And if I should be wrong, I believe God can still pencil me in at the last minute. You know, that's the kind of confusion and deception that people are under. There's a pastor you may have heard, a pastor of a major mega church. He's written a book and he's concluded that there is no hell. And he's teaching and preaching this. There is no hell. A loving God couldn't send a soul to hell. That's a message that a lot of people are embracing and welcoming. Want to be able to believe that. How could a loving God, how could a God that loves a soul send them to hell? Do you know, as I begin to look at the way the Lord deals with His people, as I begin to look at the opportunity and the time and time again that He gave opportunity, I see instead a God that's doing everything that He can to keep us out. That's sending everything, whatever it might take. You can read in Job. It says, by afflictions on the bed, by all the different groanings and all that man might turn from his way, that he might be turned back from the brink. The Lord will send opportunities and crossroads in our life that I make a decision. Will I serve the Lord and live for Him? Scripture says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Not willing that there should be anyone that will be lost. And so, He does everything that He can. Luke, the 20th chapter. Ninth verse. A certain man planted a vineyard, let it out, let it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy those husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. God, throughout time, sent prophets, messengers, sending the message, giving the opportunity, telling the story of turning back unto God and His ways. And this is an illustration of that. But they turned. Remember Jesus looking out over Jerusalem, said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often thou that stonest the prophets, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks. But oh, you didn't know the time of your visitation. He said that He came into His own, but His own received Him not. And so He said there, I'll send my own beloved Son. They'll reverence Him. You know, we're going to be, the Scripture says, without excuse. There will be no excuse. I appreciate what we've heard in this meeting of the love of God that He's shown. The Lord's not interested in forced servitude, but He's interested in winning us by His love, by the demonstration of giving the very best of heaven on our behalf, giving and sending His own Son. Surely they'll reverence Him. Surely they'll have respect unto Him. I'll give the best that I have. But they took and they cast Him out. And so the world today is doing. The Lord, just as He did back in the garden, is giving choice. He's giving opportunity unto every soul. The entire gospel message is qualified by that word, if. You may have salvation. You can live a victorious life if you will. If you'll receive it, you can have it. Scripture says, We've piped unto you, but you haven't danced. We've mourned, but you haven't lamented. Done everything that I know to do. Sent every opportunity unto you, but you haven't responded. You haven't responded to the call that has been sent. You know, it's so sad to see people, young people sometimes coming to the point in their lives that they're making decisions and see them make the wrong ones and go off into a life of sin and heartache. And it seems like, Lord, isn't there something that we can do? Lord, isn't there something that we can do to turn them around? Imagine how the Lord feels. If it hurts and grieves us to look on that, how must the Lord feel to see whenever He sends His own Son and yet turn from that and go my own way? If only the veil between us and eternity was removed. You know, I believe every one of us here tonight would be on our knees. Oh Lord God, if I could just catch a glimpse of what eternity is, Lord, don't let there be anything in my... Oh, what a carefulness erot among you. Remember the rich man when he was in hell and lifted up his eyes? And he made a request. He said, oh, send someone back that they can go and warn my brothers, my family. No, they have the prophets. They have the same thing that you had. They had the same opportunity that you had. And so it is that the Lord today doesn't choose to just pull back the veil. Every one of us here has the same opportunity to make the decision. And so the gospel message goes forth. You know, throughout this meeting, it's not just a pressuring to try to pressure someone into going to the altar or seeing how many people we can get to line or trying to further our own cause. But it's about a loving and a faithful God giving every opportunity He can, calling out in every time, in every way, by different styles and by the foolishness of preaching, calling, yearning, trying to draw by every means that He can. Is the story going to be said of us? Me? We've piped, but you haven't danced. I've sent the message to you. I've tried to show you the places in your life that you need to move up. I've tried to give you opportunity. I've tried to show you. But if you continue to refuse, if you continue to go down your own way, He is a loving God, but He's a just God. And so the love and mercy of God is to give the opportunity, to call after, to try to draw back by His Spirit. But yet He will not override the will of man. He will not override my ability to say no to Him. If I should choose in the Lord's dealings, and it doesn't just start with a major decision, Lord, I'm going to turn from You and go out into sin. But whenever the Lord puts His finger on my life and says, here's something I want you to deal with. Walk in this. Follow me in this. And I should choose, no, I'm going to go my own way. I can handle this one. I can take care of this one. If you continue to refuse, if you continue to go down your own path, you're going to find you're bringing home wages to put it in a bag with holes. I don't have anything with substance left. What I have is drained out and I have nothing left but a form. Saints, if we have nothing but a form, you know we'll be just like the children of Israel, running out there with the ark saying, here's what it's going to take. I'm measured up by outward appearance, by what the saints can see. I have everything in line and everything in order. But what the saints see does not give us power when we're at home. It does not give us power when we're on the job. That's the grace of God. That's the keeping power of God that needs to be working in and through each and every one of us to be able to live this life. The grace of God that has appeared unto all men, given every man opportunity. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust and all these things, we should live soberly, godly, and righteous in this present world. It appears to us, it calls after us, and it teaches us that we too might be able to live. You know, sometimes the devil is an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar, the father of it. And he tries to defeat and beat down every glimpse of hope and opportunity that we have. You know, whenever we stumble and fall, or maybe I've tried this thing before and it seems like I just couldn't ever get there. I didn't get to the place that I hear others testify of. If I'm not careful, the enemy will come along and he'll try to plant a question in my mind. Is it really true? Is there really anything to it? I can't get a hold of it. I've tried before. I don't feel that. I haven't gotten to the place that I can live a saved, victorious life. I haven't been there. You know what? Maybe they don't have it either. Maybe they're just putting on a form. Or get discouraged to think, you know, it's not for me. I for some reason, there's something about me, I just can't do it. I've heard those that say, you know, I've tried before and the longest I can stay saved is about 5, 7, 10 days. You know, the grace and power of God is greater than that. The blood of Christ that He sent to shed and cover and remove us from our sins is greater than that. And the gospel message, it goes to every one of us where we're at. You may have salvation. You can have victory. You can live this life. And I want to tell us, each and every one, you can, by the grace and power of God, live a victorious and a holy and a righteous life in this world, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the things and the pressures, regardless of the ghosts of the past that are behind me, regardless of the times that are tried, the baggage that I carry along, and the accusation of the enemy saying, you can't. The Lord sends the message, the gospel message. You know, it's a simple message, saying, if you will, it's yours. Just as the illustration that Brother Curtis used today, if I had money to give to you. But notice there was a requirement on that. If you'll come up and get it. You know, that's really what the Lord offers to every one of us. Offers us the opportunity to live a life that's pleasing in His sight, if you'll take it. There's a requirement, there's a stipulation. You know, I can read the Scripture that says all things work together for good. Oh, I claim that. But it says to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Whenever I read that, it says, I'll fight your battles for you. There's a requirement. There's a stipulation. If I walk in the way of the Lord, all things work together for good. But oh, if I take my own path, if I take my own course, that promise will not apply. Yes, it's a God of love and a God of mercy. And sometimes it's God's mercy that allows us to go through things that show us what we really have on hand. If we come down to the end, we haven't dealt with the things the Lord shows us in our life. I believe what I've written here, if we'll become... If only. Back when I had opportunity. Back when the Lord passed by. Back when He said, see, I set before you this day blessing and curse. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I give you equal opportunity. To all alike, you can do this. You can rise above this thing you're struggling with. You can get the victory. And I don't. And I choose instead, no, I'm going to go my own way. I'll look back just as the rich man did and think, oh, if only I had taken that way. Who was it that said, was it Felix that said, almost thou persuadest me? I wonder if he said that. Don't know if he ever got to the point that he altogether was saved. We don't have record of it. But you know, if not, don't you know that time came back to haunt him? Oh, I was almost there. I was in the place of decision. Multitudes, Joel, I believe, says, multitudes in the valley of decision. In the valley that they're having to make a choice. What way am I going to take? How am I going to respond to the call and the dealing of the Lord on my life? The song said there's a line that is crossed by rejecting the Lord. I come to a place in rejecting the Lord that I can harden myself against His dealings. You know, sometimes I fear that we can get so comfortable in this setting. We can get so comfortable. We've come to camp meeting year after year, and I'm familiar with it, and the Lord's dealings come. Remember what Paul said, that you're dull of hearing. Whenever the message comes to you, you don't receive it. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. Lord, help me. Lord, help each one of us as the message comes forth. And as the Lord comes and deals with my life, that I'm not in the place, that I'm so complacent that the Lord can't even stir me. The Lord can't deal with me as He'd like to do. I'd like to close in the fifth chapter of the book of John. John 5 and 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You heard in this meeting about healing, healing of the spirit, of the mind. You know what Jesus was asking this man here? Such a simple question. He wasn't asking for the details of how long you've been sick. Why are you still sick? Why has it not worked for you in the past? He didn't have to go through all of that and the reasoning. He asked a simple question. Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be healed? You've been like this for years. Do you want to be able to get up and walk and run and conduct business like everyone else that you watch every day? Do you want to be able to do that? All he was looking for was for that man to accept what he had to offer. You know, I believe with the Lord, a God that arises, a Son of righteousness that will arise with healing in His wings, offers us the same opportunity. Whatever the need might be in our life or in our soul, if there's something that I've been struggling with, there's something I just can't quite get the victory over, maybe I've been putting it off, the dealings of the Lord, maybe I'm starting to go my own way. You know, there's healing for backsliding. The Lord said, I'll heal their backsliding. There's healing from an up and down experience, a camp meeting experience. You know, there's healing for that. Sometimes if that's the only path that I've known, and I've never gotten beyond that, and I've never gotten the victory, then I can begin to doubt this. That's all there is, and I'm satisfied in the place I'm in. But there is healing. Whenever the Lord made him whole, he didn't do a partial job. But he put it back together, and he made it like he designed it to be. The Lord wants to put us back together if we're broken. If there's a need in our soul, the Lord wants to take and apply his healing balm to it, that we too might be able to get up and walk and run and leap. And that I observe, other people being able to live, that I might realize I too can do it. I too can have healing. The Lord has help. He has healing. He has victory and salvation for every one of us here tonight, if we will. If we'll be willing. And it brings it down again, the entire gospel message brought down to that one word, if. It can be yours. Everything that living gospel that Brother Darrell spoke about, it can be yours. It can be your life. It can be your experience. Whenever you go, you too can leave a testimony like Paul did. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You can do it by the grace and the mercy and the help of God. And so we ask every one of us, are you willing to do it? For if you're willing, you'll eat the good of the land. You pray for me. Amen.